and Deb Rees, experts in business, leadership and lifestyle.
Skilling your softly to a successful you. Emotions are your value, and your value is your business. UK Health Radio.
Here we go, man. Yes, do we have a show for you today? Man, it's great to be back. It's great to be back every week. Do you know, I say it over and over and over. He must say it's great to be back every week. You'll bet your life I do. Too bad, sad, if that doesn't mix with your listening. But do you know what? I love you all. Thank you for being here every week. And do I have an amazing guest for you? This lady is mind-blowing. Absolutely. But going to bring it on in a sec, because it's been a real full-on week for me this week. Sometimes you think, Paul, take a breath. Do you know what I mean? So here's the thing, listeners. I got on my desk, underneath what is a pile of papers right now, and a laminated sign that says pause. So I've got to look at it every day at that little pause word and remind myself, Paul, remember what burnout feels like. Remember what it feels like, man. Pause, pause, pause. I lost 3 months. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to lose another 3 months. Really have to think about this. And, you know, I think the importance of understanding yourself is understanding who you are. And that's something we're going to talk about today, is who are you? Not what are you, not if you are, not should you be, but who are you? And the who are you, really, listeners, is what comes from the heart, the niche of who you are. And you know I love niche. It's a big thing for me. But it's who are you? And you know, when you think about all your events in your day, when you think about what you're getting up to, what you're planning ahead, what you've done, your past, running through that will be this absolute purity of who you are as a person, who you are as an individual, who you are in your presentation of yourself. Now, let's remember I said that. Who you are in the presentation of yourself. We are inward and outward people. Inward and outward human beings. Not just sharing with our guests today. On my wall, I have my 3 guides, of course. My 2 spiritual guides and my wife. My center. Absolutely, she is. She's my center. And that's a big part of who I am. Running a business means I can better myself as a person to be a better husband to my wife. To be a better owner to my dogs. To be a better dad to my 2 daughters. That's why I run a business. You know, making money, of course. Listen, guys, you know, I'm a purchaser. When I get down, I purchase. And me and Deb had a big meeting about this yesterday. She said, right, Paul, we now decided that everything is done. You can't purchase anything now until this date this year. And do you know what? It was like someone had taken away my biggest addiction. And I've got this going through my head, listeners. You know, this is a serious thing. You know, when I get down, I purchase. And I, you know, it's Saturday morning. I come in and open my laptop, have a sneaky little look at what's going on out there. And suddenly Facebook pops up this little cheap gadget that's available. And I'm one of those, oh, I'll have this, only this, only this. There's loads of only this is. So here's the thing. What am I getting to here? I'm not owning my identity. I'm trying to fill something else. I'm not owning my heart. I'm not being authentic to myself. I'm filling it with commercial things. I'm filling it with commercial purchases instead of filling it with who I am, the true authenticity of what I should be to myself. So part of me was like, oh my gosh, Paul, you know, think about this. You work with people every day and you're niching those people every day when there's a percentage of you, Paul, that's actually not being true to yourself. You're not being true to who you are. Well, guess what? We've got the guest on here today who's going to tell us all about how it is you be that person. How it is you be true to yourself. This person here has done it all. She's been there. She's overturned every stone, every pebble to be who she is today. To really recognize the essence of this is me. This is who I am. And this person, let's bring her in right now, because you're going to love this name for sure. I mean, this person was a digital nomad. She was out there traveling like cowboys and Indians, you know, campfires and laptops. And doing all those beautiful things, absolutely. Let me bring it in here. We got the wonderful, the amazing, straight from London, Desislava Dobreva. Yes, what a name. Yeah. Happy days. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm so excited.
Oh, you know, I'm hugely excited. We met at a marketing event, and you were one of the keynote speakers on there. And I love where you come on. You talked about the importance of people and groups and how you get people together for the right reasons. Because, you know, let's face it, social media has a deep mix of negative and positive. It has a deep mix of both. It can break someone or make someone effectively. Yeah. You know, and, you know, because of how cowardly social media can be also, because it's easy to go on there and, you know, and fight type. Mm. It's easy to fight type, get a boxing match with keywords and typing it in. So it is, it's a very cowardly platform as well as a very important one. But I want to come in because Desislava, you are a branding expert. You're also a business mentor and consultant. And these, I think, are just touching the surface of who you are as a person, because we had a chat before you come on the show. You're very spiritual also. I want to put that out there because you are, you know, which means you're very open-minded to the universe and everything that comes with that. It comes with that. But do you believe, you know, coming back to branding, just looking out there, because this was the first thing that went through your veins in the sense of making yourself, you know, corporate or run your own business. But branding is so misconceived, it's so watered down, I feel. I feel that 99% of the business owners niche so softly, they don't get themselves out of the noise anyway.
Mm. Yeah, I think it comes from not really understanding what branding is in the first place, because I mean, let's face it, what do most people do when they hear about branding and they're interested in starting a business? They go and Google it. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Educating yourself is always good. But when you go on Google, even when you go on ChatGPT, what it will tell you is there's no official definition. So you're going to be bombarded with different people telling you what branding is. Mm-hmm. And that gets to be so confusing. Yeah. So then the person thinks, well, maybe I shouldn't even focus on it. Let's just go and build a business. But then that's problematic, because you can't really build a business without building a brand, right? That's so not true. It's not something that will survive long term.
Wow. Because we don't effectively read a brand, we feel a brand. You know, I don't walk into Tesco's or Lidl's or Aldi's and see the name. I just feel what I'm walking into.
Mm.
I feel the brand of the business.
That's a good way to describe it. Yeah, I love that.
Mm. You know, and I feel so many people name their business like they name a pet. they don't give any deep thought to it.
Yeah.
Do you believe that's the case for so many in the SME world?
I think that's absolutely true, but it also makes me laugh because I have multiple companies and one of my companies holds the name of my cat.
Well,
apart from that, I think you are right in terms of like the name we put out to the public. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I think people don't put enough thought into it, but that's only because they haven't been educated into why they should put thought into it in the first place, and how when you are building a brand, absolutely everything needs to be connected. It's like you're building this ecosystem. And these little connections light up between everything, a name, an offer, what you're wearing today, if it's a personal brand, like all of these things, you need to achieve a certain level of brand consistency. And I think that's something that's missing from most businesses.
I love that you say that, brand consistency, because that's something that, again, that is chopped up into a million pieces. That word consistency and brand often isn't married together. But also, you know, Desislava, that's such a great name, do you know what I mean? And also, you are to go through your own journey to become your authentic self, because we can't teach something, we can't coach something we've not coached ourselves first. Would you agree?
Yeah. Oh, personally, yeah, I think that's absolutely true, which is why when I started my career, I never in a million years would have thought of myself as a business mentor. And I find it strange that there are people who just start a business and suddenly they're a business mentor. I mean, you have to go through a certain level of education through experience, to get there.
Absolutely. And, you know, you've had to really build your confidence in other people to you.
Yeah.
That's something that's because, you know, I've been reading your notes and things, and, you know, you have really had to work harder than the average person for acceptance as an entrepreneur, as a business person.
I think so.
What was that journey like?
I mean, look, we all have different privileges, obviously, and I have some and you have some and certain people have completely different ones. But so I definitely am not a victim. But when it comes to building a business, especially a personal brand, because for this particular business, I put myself at the forefront. I didn't choose to hide behind the company name. That's something I will eventually transition into. But to begin with, it was all me. Mm-hmm. And that's incredibly difficult to just build trust and build a reputation out there when you come from Eastern Europe, you have a strong Eastern European accent, mm-hmm. and most of the people in the online space that seem to interact with me are, you know, British, American, Australian. And I feel very blessed that is my client base, because I definitely love that they don't just see me as mm-hmm. an Eastern European. They see me as an equal. They see me as someone they can learn from, that they can aspire to be motivated by. But it wasn't like that in the beginning. In the beginning, it was really difficult. I got advice from my business mentor at the time that I should change my accent, that people would never trust me, that I should speak differently, dress differently, because, you know, all I'm doing is just playing into the stereotype of an Eastern European woman. And I told him, listen, like, if they're not going to take me for who I am, they're just not going to take me, and this business is not going to work. And I would prefer that than putting a mask on and building a business based on some fake version of myself, because then any success I achieve is not going to feel like success.
Yeah. Tell me about the business. I mean, it's to create a business and make you the profile of that business. But also, tell me about, so when people come into the business, or there's mentoring and there's coaching, and that's the backbone of what's going on there, as well as, of course, the branding and things.
Yeah. So the way I teach is, so I work primarily with people who either want to build a business or already have a business and are looking mm-hmm. to grow it, scale it by working less and being able to step away from it, which is very difficult for most people. So when you come into my world, it's just, there's a lot that you need to unlearn, because I go completely against all the mainstream business strategies. I call them guru strategies. things like, you know, target people's pain points and get people on sales calls and hard pitch and cold DMs and cold calling. Just completely no. That's not how we work. What we do is we focus entirely on building a brand to begin with, building your origin story. That's very important, because, you know, 9 times out of 10, when someone chooses to work with me, obviously they know I'm good at what I do. They know that I have a reputation in the space, but it's my story. Mm-hmm. It's them feeling connected to something I've been through or something I've overcome that makes them go, oh, wow, she will understand me because I've been through something similar. So we spend a lot of time focusing on that. And then once you build the brand, which doesn't have to take a long time at all to begin with, just to lay the foundation, that's when you really focus on building the business, on, you know, establishing a proper sales process, launch system, whatever it is. But I would never throw someone into, for example, starting a membership or selling an offer without simultaneously working on their brand.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love it, because what I'm hearing you, I've met a fellow niche expert, because it sounds to me like it's not just about building the brand. There's this whole journey, Desislava, where you actually help them niche the personal part of themselves into this product. So their life values are running through the veins of everything that they're putting out there through their business.
Yes, absolutely. A huge part of what I teach is, because I think a lot of people start a business thinking they need to be someone else, like we just discussed with in my case, that I chose not to. But a lot of people choose to do that because they think that's their only option. And so when they come to me, they've started or built a business based on something that's not real. And they've gotten to the point where they feel very overwhelmed and stressed, because it's like you have to put this mask on every day. You have to pretend you speak a certain way or dress a certain way. I mean, I worked with a woman who thought that she needs to dress in like suits and not wear any makeup because it's unprofessional. Mm-hmm. And then when she came to me, and first of all, when she saw me, she thought, wow, okay, So you can be a successful business owner and not conform to all this stuff.
Yeah.
And her journey has just been so beautiful to see, because she came from a very corporate space. That's something I've never experienced, by the way. I've never really had a corporate job. Mm-hmm. I've only ever worked in startups or as a dishwasher before I started this business. So hard to relate sometimes, but a lot of my clients, they struggle with being themselves, because it seems so frowned upon in this space sometimes.
I think it is. It's fantastic that you own you, and that it's like take it or leave it. I think it's that in itself is an authenticity you want to buy into. That's the kind it is. It creates for a very authentic invoice in a business, because I'm invoicing you the best of who I am, rather than, you know, what you want me to be. And so it's a genuine invoice rather than a political invoice, because I believe there is a difference. And that, again, is what's so unique about what you do in your style of I'm not going to say mentoring or coaching, because that's too much of a generic word. Yeah. You are effectively emotionally designing what is, you know, you're emotionally designing a very niched approach to what is a unique business for that unique person's emotional fingerprint. That's the depth of what you're doing here, which, again, is rare. It's not out there. It'll 20 years from now, that'll be the only form of coaching 20 years from now. You know, the regular style will just be, you know, gone. So you're emotionally designing a very niche product. And I just want, a reason why I wanted to bring that in is because sometimes we just don't see the greatness of what we're doing until somebody else just looks from the bird's eye view and says, wait, don't put coach or mentor in there. You're emotionally designing a niche product, which is very unique. Fantastic. And I applaud you for that. At the age of just 32, I mean, man, you must have gone and gobbled up the three wise men at a very young age, because really you're very advanced in how you're thinking, Des's Lava, for sure. Do you see that?
Thank you. Now I do. I didn't used to. I think that's partly because I've always worked with older clients. I'm usually, for example, in my community, I'm probably the youngest person there, yet I run a community of about 200 people. So I think because I'm surrounded by such amazing, wise, intelligent people from day one, and I never want to be the smartest person in the room, I didn't see myself as I really am. And then again, I've grown. So with that, my confidence has grown, and now I can see myself as I am, as opposed to think of myself as a little girl who's just winging it and improvising this business, which is very much how it was in the first year.
Because originally, we spoke about this, being Eastern European and Bulgaria. Was there a natural, emotional habit you brought from, being in that country, in a sense of, did you have to really prove yourself as a woman, do you feel, in the business world? But also, is the nature from, is the culture nature from that country means that you don't put yourself first anyway?
I definitely had to prove myself more than other people who maybe are from England or from the States. And as a woman, of course, I mean, it's so amazing, because this space used to be so heavily male dominated. I think that's not really as it was. There's definitely some change. But when I came into it, 7 years ago, it wasn't like this. So I'm very happy about that. But yeah, I certainly have had to prove myself more than I think a lot of other people. Even though I have, as I said, we all have privileges, but Eastern Europe, being Eastern European, I see it as a privilege now, because it certainly has helped me carve out such a unique space for myself. Yeah. That's, like you said, so rare. Yeah. But in the beginning, I was taught to see it as an impediment. And because of that, I thought, oh my God, I have to work 10 times harder to prove myself. And then, like you said, the culture, I think... So Bulgarian culture is very different from anything most people have experienced. And one of the things is you don't really trust. You're not in Bulgaria. People are very much distrustful of everything, starting with the government for good reason, to your neighbor, to everyone around you. And And that's a very hard mindset to let go of. And that's something I'm continuously working on in this space.
It's great that you talk about that, because, you know, those kind of embedded emotional anchors that we are loyal to the people that put them in there. It comes from there, and we stay loyal to that, you know. But it's fantastic that you bring that up, because, you know, a lot of people in not just life, but in the business world, one of their biggest struggles is with trust, not just in trust with others, but trust in themselves, being that they're good at what they do, or they, you know, they have worth in things. Because the word trust is, we could say, is the roof that holds the house with all the distrust emotions in there, for sure. Mm-hmm. And do you find that as you grow your trust, then of course your product, your pitch, your everything about what you build becomes more open because you're more trusting?
Yeah, definitely, because it just allows me to step into being vulnerable in a different way. And that's a very difficult thing to do if you're closed off and you don't trust. Yeah. I think what changed my perspective on trust, believe it or not, was an Instagram reel that I was looking at, could have been a year and a half ago. And it said something to the tune of, trust is not about other people. Trust is not about controlling other people's actions or any of that. It's about knowing that you're going to be okay no matter what anyone else does to you. Yeah. And I think I just spent, up until that point in my life, trying to always be in control. And it's something that is also so hard to let go of, because I've always strived to be very independent, because I wasn't until my mid-20s. I really wasn't. My parents supported me, you know, unemployment benefits supported me when I lived in Denmark. So it's just something very difficult to let go of. But when I heard that, I feel like it started to chip away at this just horrible need to always control everything, including other people, which is where trust issues come from.
Absolutely. I get all this. Listen, I live in a house with a life strategist who peels this every day with people. So I understand it truly. And I understand also, you know, lack of trust, control, perfectionism, imposter syndrome, all these things are all married into one false person. And, you know, working on these every day is certainly an amazing opportunity, an amazing place to be in life. You know, we're not here. We're not here to not have them. We're here to have these emotions so we can grow, you know, especially in the business world. The business is easy, you know, so long as we're prepared to see ourselves within that business. And let's talk about your community, because you touched on this, and I want to do this before we go into an ad. So tell me about your community, because you mentioned 200. So it's a large community. So yeah, I'm really excited. Tell me about this.
So it's funny you say it's a really large community. When I started it 6 years ago in March of 2017, which is a few months after I started my business, I think I officially started in December of 2016. That's when I released my first offer. I was completely green, very naive. I had no idea what I was doing. I'm not even going to pretend. I came into this space with one thing only, and that was understanding branding, because I just graduated from my master's in that, and it was an incredible experience. And so I came into it, and I decided, because I felt so demotivated with what I was seeing, even back then, people were so busy just tearing each other down in this space, you know, trashing other people's methods. And I didn't really have anyone I could trust. And I thought, well, if I feel like that, many other people feel like that. So I went into it not even thinking about money, recurring income, things like that. I just wanted to create a safe space and, of course, monetize it, because this is a business. Yeah. But that was it. I had no idea. I just knew this needed to be a space where people can feel vulnerable, ask all the questions that other people will tell them are stupid questions without ever feeling judged. And little did I know it would become what it is today.
Where is that space? How do we find it?
It's at badbrandsquad.com.
Say that again.
I call it BBS. Badbrandsquad.com. I call it BBS for short. You guys can find the wait list there. It's only open a few times a year, but we do have a wait list. And it has just grown into, we have about 200 people now. I have a hard limit. I never have more than 250 people in there because this is not something that I'm scaling. This is not even the main revenue generator in my business, even though it's given me so much freedom.
Yeah.
It's, I think when you try to scale a place like that, it loses its intimacy and its personal touch. And that to me will destroy the one thing in my business that I value the most. So I'm not willing to do that.
So that, so the badbrandsquad.com, that's effectively is your personal community that you work with, where you do your mentoring, your coaching, your branding, and of course your emotional designing of people's business with them. We've got to put that in there because that's a hugely important ingredient that gets mentioned.
I love this term, emotionally designing. Yeah, so BBS is essentially, I would say, where most of my clients end up, either start their journey or end up at some point, because I do have many other offers I sell. Mm-hmm. I have, you know, my recurring revenue program where I help people build memberships. But BBS is really where you get the most support because I'm so active and so visible there all the time. We have weekly calls. So it's not all of my clients. I have thousands of paying clients, but it's just that inner circle I've cultivated of people who have really high integrity and who always have each other's backs, really.
Okay, that's just fab. Listen, what we're going to do there, listeners, we're going to quickly run into a 90-second commercial. When we come back, This Is Lava is going to give us the details as to how we get hold of her, where we reach her website and all these beautiful things. So we'll be back in about 90 seconds from now.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
We are back in, yes, absolutely. And who is with us today? Yes, let's do it. This is Lava Dobriva. Yes, absolutely. The guru in branding and coaching and mentoring, but we've just thrown all that away because she is the guru in emotional design. This girl works with the heart niche of who you are, puts it into a brand, into the emotional fingerprint of who you are, and then boom! Off you go into the business community and into the world of multiverse. Absolutely. This is where I am. And this is Lava. Thank you again for coming on today.
Of course. This is honestly some of the best questions I've ever been asked.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, it's important. You know, the thing is, I'm a nosy person. That's what makes it so easy for me. It really is. I'm someone that really gets nosy about people. But here's the thing. Let's talk about how do we get hold of you? Give me your contact details so our listeners can dive into whichever community you want them to dive into.
You can find me on my website, desdobreva.com, but I am very active on my Facebook. Facebook is probably the account where I share the most, where I share a lot of free advice, things like that. So I'm sure Paul will drop the link to that and to my Instagram as well.
Happy days, yes. All those contact details will be going out with the show. They'll be there, so it'll be easy to find you for sure. Now, let's talk about memberships and things. Because when I met you on the event that we were in and you were keynoting, you were talking heavily about, you know, I think it was Facebook memberships or memberships in general. Sorry if I'm incorrect, because it's quite some time ago. You know, it was a surge where people were diving into trying to create these platforms. And I don't really, because that's not something I ever did, even though I went from that event thinking, oh, I'm going to do this. I didn't do it. And I just didn't do it. I think because there's a disbelief in me that felt, why would someone be a member of my community? And that's,
oh my God, are you even kidding?
That stopped me in my tracks because my imposter syndrome, and listen, I have imposter syndrome. I'm working on it every day. You know, I inherited that from my childhood, amongst other things, you know, dyslexia, imposter syndrome, and all these other things that make up for that emotion. So when I came home from that event, I was like, no way, nobody's going to pay anything to want to be in my group. And so I left it. And I left it. And every so often I get that thought coming up of, should I? No, I can't. Forget it. So tell me about, you know, and you must find that when you work with clients that are wanting to build these kind of platforms, possibly struggle with the same thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I am surprised you do, because I can guarantee you people would want to pay you to be part of your community, even just for your accent.
Bless you.
No, they absolutely would. They really would. Here's an example for you, because I think a lot of people think that if they're starting a membership, it needs to be connected to business and making mm-hmm. money. But we forget that there's memberships targeted at hobbyists as well. So one of my clients just launched her. So she has an amazing garden where she makes her own food and grows her own veggies, everything. And she started a subscription now, a subscription box for veggies and fruit. And wow. She already has, I think, her first 5 clients at this point, which is incredible. And she charges $150 a month for it. So how fantastic is that?
Wow.
But yes, people do have massive imposter syndrome. But the thing is, I don't know if you're aware of this. This is fascinating. So even though at this moment, people around Europe, the States, you know, there's a war happening, obviously, people have less capital than they used to. People have higher bills, higher costs of living. Yet, the subscription market is growing massively. I can't remember the exact numbers, but I remember that businesses that have memberships and subscriptions on average currently are growing 4.6% faster than the S&P 500. So wow. Companies that have not implemented a subscription or membership in their business model are actually lagging behind. And I think we're going to see more and more of that in the next few years, because it was a massive, it was in the trillions, the figure, by 2028.
Wow.
So it's just, and that's because people, they see it as a convenience, first of all. They don't want to randomly be paying for all these things when something can come out of their account every month or every year. I also take annual payments, for instance, for my membership. So it's the convenience aspect of it. It's the ongoing support or access to something as well. It's kind of like Netflix. You don't want to cancel your Netflix subscription. It's the last thing people tend to cancel in households, which is why I always say you want to build a brand that's the Netflix of your industry, because they will cancel Disney, they'll cancel their Apple TV, but they will not cancel Netflix. It's fascinating.
So true, girl. Yeah. And so what you do then, Desislava, you work with people to build membership platforms?
So maybe for those who don't know what a membership really is, let me just define it real quick.
Yeah,
so when you build a membership, there's a few different ways to go. Obviously, the simpler one is just to start a subscription, whether that's a subscription box that people receive on a monthly basis if you sell products, or give them just basic access to, let's say, a content database. I don't count that as a membership. That's more of a subscription offer, because they're not really getting any support, any access to other people. What I help people build is memberships that are more community focused, for obvious reasons, because that's what I've built. So I feel like that's where my strength is. So in a membership, think of it in terms of you being a facilitator of relationships. So it's not just about you. People don't join just to get access to you. You have to enable them to speak and bond with one another. So when you build a membership, you have a couple of elements that are always the same. You have a platform where your content is hosted and where you take recurring payments from. And before people think about that, no, you don't have to have hundreds of trainings in there. A lot of my clients start with 10 pieces of content. Some start with none.
Okay.
So you need the platform, and there are many platforms you can choose for that already exist. You don't have to build anything new. And then you need some sort of a communication channel. So that's where the good stuff happens. This is where people can talk to you mm-hmm. in a limited capacity. Of course, boundaries are important in memberships. This is not a one-to-one offer. Obviously, it's a group setting. So they can talk to you. They can talk to one another. You can use a Facebook group. I use Discord for my community. It's a fantastic platform because you can keep everything organized. And what happens is people bond there. They share personal issues. They vent. They ask business questions. I respond. Other members respond. And it's mm-hmm. just this group setting where everyone's helping each other. And then the third element, usually you don't have to do this, but most of my clients choose to, there's some sort of a live element. So I run weekly calls in mine.
Okay.
Some people run something once a month, twice a month. It can be anything, a breath work workshop, a yoga class, depending on what you do.
I love that. How much time does it generally take then to invest into your own membership platform? Because I think this is the one thing that can put a lot of people off. is that they think you're absolutely ball and chained into something then.
So you mean how much time do you invest in starting it in the beginning?
Well, I guess average in running a healthy membership platform.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, the most of the work is in the first 6 months, because in 6 months, you should have been able to do your founding members launch where you accept your first 20 members and one regular launch. And by that point, usually you have 30 to 50 members. And that's when the fun begins. And that's when your income is also most stable. So that's the bulk of the work, because obviously you have to put everything together. You can also outsource it, of course. My team and I build memberships for clients. But after that, so personally, me, because I run weekly calls, I've done so for 6 years, and it's just become a habit at this point. I barely registers as work to me, but
yeah.
I spend maybe, so those calls are 2 hours a week. So I spend maybe 5 hours a week running mine or less, because I have a team in place now. So they take care of most of the stuff, and I really just show up to support people.
It's such a fantastic way to run a knowledge-based business.
Yeah.
You know, we're in the knowledge industry. That's where we are, because we're not selling pens or phones or hats or mics. We're selling emotions. Yeah. We're selling thoughts, ideas, feelings. And we are somehow selling a broadband of that, so everybody can sell the same thing to each other to increase the quality of what people are thinking in that universe of your community. So I think, you know, it's such a great way to run a knowledge-based industry. And I can speak again, you know, for me, again, it was all about imposter syndrome. And now we're also, I'm scared, because you said, well, Paul, if a business isn't doing it, it's gonna end up in the graveyard. So now I either tackle my imposter syndrome and do it, or I end up in the graveyard 10 years from now, and Desi's Lava clients are going to be doing what I should have done. You know, so now after this radio show, I'm like, oh my word, what am I going to do? I'm somewhere there right now, but I'm enjoying that battle that's going on between me. I'm really enjoying it, because you really, you know, you brought some emotions up there that we do, because a lot of business people fail because of their emotional inadequacies, not or in a sense of how they haven't grown themselves, and they find that, you know, the business has outgrown them.
Yeah.
It happens so fast. And coming back to yourself. You know, you said, my ego has died many deaths. My inability to trust has shifted, which you still have issues with, and you were touched on. But let's talk about, you know, again, at 32, I was nowhere near where I am now. My weekend started on a Wednesday and finished the following Tuesday. Basically, I buried myself in as much as I could drink and do anything to get out of where I was, you know.
Mm.
But at 32, you took a different avenue. Which, you know, I wish I looked at my ego then. How did you find that? Because again, in the control part of you, the perfection part, the imposter syndrome, and then battling with your ego.
I think that there are, at least looking back on my own journey and some of the journeys of my clients when it comes to the ego specifically, I think there's maybe three stages that we have to go through if we want to grow, if we want to keep growing, if we want to be successful, but most importantly, happy. I think there are three stages. The first stage is the one where, this is the worst one. This is where I was prior to starting my business, mid-20s,
wow.
Where your ego completely has taken over the wheel. It complete control over your life. You have very low self-esteem. You have very low confidence. You're probably faking your confidence, which I very much was doing, because it wasn't real, but I knew I had to project it if I wanted any respect.
Yeah.
So, but on the inside, you're just dying. You're miserable. Wow. You don't have genuine connections with people because you always find reasons not to. So that's where I was. And then after starting my business, again, the people in BBS, I think I didn't have an option. I had to grow if I wanted to keep being surrounded by such amazing individuals. So I entered the second stage, which is slightly better, but not great, because that's the stage where you've begun a little bit to let go of the ego, but it's still there. It still has the wheel. It's still controlling your life. But now you are craving attention, whether that's negative or positive, and you're feeding off of it. So I was feeding off of all this negative attention I was getting, because I get very much attacked in the online space. I think just the way I am and you know, where I come from and all of it, it can be very activating for people, positively or negatively, very strong emotions associated with my brand. And at the time, I thought it was all great, all attention is good. And I would invite it. I would seek out negative attention because it made me feel special.
Yeah.
And that is so toxic. That is, you portray this happy life, but again, on the inside, you're anything but. And I think that's where most people are.
Isn't it? That's such an invisible negative currency, isn't it? When you think about us, it's a negative currency that we're trying to grow our business on. Do you know what? I want to come back in a sec, but I have to jump into another commercial. Otherwise, I'll get a row off the station for not putting it on there. Sorry, guys. So we're going to come back in 90 seconds. We're going to jump back into the fake it, make it scenario and see where we go with that conversation. Boom!
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Oh, happy days. Oh, happy days. Yes, it is. Absolutely. And we are back in, of course, with the lovely Desislava Dobriva. Yes, we are. And we've really deep dived, you know, the importance of self in business. I mean, the importance of your own branding, your emotional design. We've been touched on that, a new thing, but it's out there now, of course, and heart niching. It's all out there. Desislava is going to be putting this up there. It's going. And I want to talk about, now, people do say this, and I was a big fan of this my first 10 years, and it took me into burnout. Fake it till you make it. Now, you know, people say that, and I ran by that, Desislava, and I'm going to say that's what took me into burnout, and I lost 3 months of my life, because I was faking it till you make it. You know, everybody, it kind of gets branded around. What's your thoughts on, because you did mention, Paul, I had to put on a front. I had to put on something, confidence, which is exactly what I was doing, is hiding behind my suit and my big gob, basically. But I felt that, and because of how unauthentic I was with that, then it took me backwards. So tell me your thought on it.
I don't know if you know this, but I did a TEDx talk in 2018, and it's basically called Fake It Till You Make It. Words Can Kill. And it's on YouTube. Anyone can watch it if you type my name and TEDx or Words Can Kill. It's about 20 minutes, and that was the very first time I've ever told my story. I figured, well, I've been in this business for a year and a half. I haven't told my story yet. What better place to do it than in front of 700 people on a stage in Guatemala? And it was terrifying. But my talk was exactly about how, so you've had a negative experience with it. For me, faking it till I make it actually saved my life. Because when I was 19, I nearly took my own life. And if I hadn't had I guess it's an inkling of actual confidence, but that's about it, to not do that, to remind myself, well, maybe I should exist. Maybe there is a point of me being here. I'm not sure there is. I don't know what it is, but I'm willing to believe for now that there is one. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do what confident people do. I'm going to emulate their behavior. I'm going to try and portray myself as someone who belongs here. And for years, I did exactly that. Years and years of my life. And I know it's not the best way to go through life, but I think for me at the time, it was necessary because it was either that or nothing. And then once I started my business, I think, and I saw what other people saw in me, and I saw that I could be valuable to others, I think that's what then started giving me actual confidence. Wow. Maybe not when I started my business, but when I started freelancing in my mid-20s. That's when I really, even though I was so underpaid, that's when I realized, oh, wow, I can help other people and there is value in me.
Yeah. Do you think that maybe there's two shapes to fake it till you make it? There is a authentic part where you are genuinely wanting to project out confidence to create for a better environment, or you could be fake it till you make it, which is in a negative way. Because you're in this. These two layers of fake it till you make it, one certainly has an authentic feel to it. I mean, I believe that mine had a percentage of authenticity, but I believe that the inauthentic part of my fake it till you make it took me into burnout. That was my body saying, you're not doing what's resonating with you emotionally. Yeah.
No, I agree with you that there's two layers, two sides of it. And I think mine was just me barely holding on. And that was the reason I could hold on. And for you, it was more of, it's almost like you had to, I don't want to call it delusion, but this thing where you don't see that you're already good enough and you want other people's respect without really earning it with yourself first.
Every day, girl. Now we have switched to who's interviewing who, because every day I get that. Absolutely. I'm very open with these things. I do question and I do look for people's kudos. Yes, he's good. Yes, and without that, I find myself going into a little shell. Absolutely, and along with you, I've tried to take my own life. And, you know, as a youngster and as a grown man, I've been there. And, you know, and these things are, it's a very destructive place to be, but also it's a cry for help to yourself, not just from NBA, but you're crying to you. You're wanting you to help you. And, you know, and I think it's important to take admiration of the strength that you had to take that leap back into life and get that strength from within. And got that for yourself, that you leapt back into life with guns ablazing and said, okay, do you know what? I deserve this. I deserve my gratitude. I deserve who I am. It took me to do that, you know, many times. And do I carry shame for those experiences? Well, I'm very grateful for the experiences I had that have rounded me to the husband I am, you know, the dad I am. Although I got a hell of a lot of work to do there, so my daughters have told me for sure, which I'm happy to keep working on. Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to bring that admiration in that, you know, when you're on your own and you're in that place and there's no one listening to you, to your screams out, your emotional screams out, it takes a lot of inner strength to leap back in. So for that reason alone, well done to you. You've got your life cap and gown, girl. That's what makes you the leader in your community. And I don't mean a leader, but the person that helps steer everybody else to become their own leaders. That's what makes you so unique at what you do. This lady, your listeners, is your emotional designing, heart niching individual. It's been amazing, Desi's Lava.
Oh, thank you. This has been so profound, actually. I've loved this.
You know, here's the thing. I always believe that when you get someone on the show that is a multiverse thinking person, feeling and emotional person, you know that my audience, the listeners here, are going to get so much out of this person's mind and heart. And that's what we've had today. Phil, I'm very universally grateful for you coming on.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you for inviting me.
Oh, bless you. So here's the thing. Before we kind of switch off here, I mean, there's always this cheesy question of, you know, if there's one piece of advice, what was it you would offer? What was it you would give out? And let's shrink it, not to the experienced person, but to the inexperienced person that's struggling, that can't find that self-worth, but wants to do something special for themselves. What is that kind of piece of advice? If there can be something in shortened.
I think what most people at that stage struggle with is even seeing that there is already something special inside of them. They think they need to attain it. They need to get it somehow. They need to maybe learn it. But the thing is, it's already in there. It's just a matter of, number one, realizing it, becoming aware that you already are special in some way, and not letting anyone else telling you you're not get to you, because God knows I've had that. You know, my own teachers, my own parents didn't think. Nobody would have thought that I would be here, myself included. So I get how that feels. And I never thought that I had anything special. I never thought I was special until finally one day I realized it. And that changed everything. Because once you have this piece of knowledge, nothing is going to stop you from getting what you want and from being happy. Nothing. No matter how many setbacks you have, how many, I don't see a failure. Failure is, you know, just giving up. No matter how many setbacks, how many people try to stifle your growth, you're just going to keep growing. So that's my advice. Just realize you already are special and just use it. Use it to build the life that you want.
This is lava. That's such a mature heart set. Such a mature heart set. Thank you. You know, that was quite the technical question. You just come back with that wonderful answer. It's been amazing. I've absolutely enjoyed our time together. Thank you so much again for sharing your heart and your mind with our listeners. And remember, all Des's Lava's contact details are going to be with the show, during, of course, and underneath there. So look out for everything. Get in touch with her. She's an amazing person. And I tell you, one of the forward, most forward-thinking business designers, niches, people that you're ever going to meet. It's just fantastic. And you're only 32, which means, wow, the whole business industry has got plenty of time to do yet, girl, that's for sure. So until... So until this time next week, listeners, you have an amazing week. And most of all, be who you are, not what others wish you to be. And I'll say bye for now and boom!
Bye! Emotion.